Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was a great honor and a privilege to invite my friend, and that Greg Musselman. I've been getting to know him. Come on, Greg. I've been getting to know him over this last few years as he's returned back to Owen Sound, and that as he was here as youth pastor of the Alliance Church, now he's returned under the umbrella of the covering of his district and fellowship to start a ministry called The Exchange. And it has morphed from what you thought at first into many new things and great things. So I'm just going to turn over to you and have your liberty and freedom, and that as you challenge us from God's word and also from your heart. Okay. God bless you, my brother.
Thank you, Phil. Yes. All righty. Thanks, guys. Am I on, maybe? Yes. Okay. Wow. I'm going to pray. And yes. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the privilege of being here today with your body, Lord. Just that last song as we were singing, Lord, just thinking about the work that you are here with us, Lord, moving in our midst. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would move our hearts to be at a place, Lord, where your spirit would have freedom to work. Only you can do that work, Lord, and I just pray that over us today. I thank you, Lord, for this church and for its unique part in the body of Christ in the area of Owen Sound, Lord, and just all the work that you're doing through it, Lord, as a body look to what you are doing. I just pray more that your spirit would have the freedom and boldness and to just keep working through them. God, I just thank you for what you're going to do through us today as we go to your word and see what you're up to and what you're challenging us in, Lord. And so I just ask in your name for complete freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I've gotten to know Phil a little bit. Good guy. That's cool. It's really nice to be back in Owen Sound. I grew up here. I was born here. My grandfather was a pastor of Hepworth Baptist Church when I was a kid, and that's where I used to go to church. And then we moved to Owen Sound and went to the Alliance Church, and I ended up being a youth pastor there for 10 years and kind of had lots of interactions with you guys and your youth ministry over that time span. And now was called back after being away a few years in Chatham to pilot a new way of resourcing the local church on mission with Jesus. And so I'm going to talk to you more about what that is all about. I'm also a part-time pastor with Owen Sound Alliance in the area of discipleship and small groups, and that's still a forming thing. So I do have a few different things I'm up to. But I just am really excited to share with you guys today from the parable of the talents, or the parable of the three servants, or the parable of the three bags of gold, whatever you want to call it. I was reading it in my son's Bible last night, and it was called the three bags of gold parable. So whichever your favorite terminology is, that's what we're going to look at today. It was interesting this morning as I was praying for you as a church. I just said, okay, Jesus, tell me what you want me to just, like, what do you want for this people? And it was cool. He just said, encourage them today. So I just want you to be encouraged. I'm not sure what that means exactly, except for to just really encourage you. So be encouraged, and we'll let God do that through you. This parable, I think I have a slide, maybe. Not yet. Okay, that's fine. This parable is actually part of a conversation that Jesus has been having in Matthew 24. So Matthew 24 is a very interesting part of Jesus' story. He's hanging out with his disciples, and he has just kind of walked through the temple area, and then he's walking up to the Mount of Olives. Anybody ever been to the Mount of Olives before in Israel? A few of you have, okay. So I had the privilege a bunch of years ago, and it's this like peaceful, quiet space where you can see the, like, look over Jerusalem. And in that area, Jesus has found himself up there, and his disciples come to him, and they ask him, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your return? And so what's just happened is that Jesus is near the end of his ministry, and he said that this temple is going to be overthrown. Not a stone will be left. And so they're saying, when will this happen? When will the system that we know that we've been growing up in, you know, all this oppression, when will this whole thing happen? We're waiting here, right, in anticipation. And then what will be the sign of your return? And Jesus gives us this very comprehensive end times conversation that is really interesting. He says it's only going to get worse. There's going to be lots of people coming in my name that are going to be pretenders. Don't follow them. He says that the world is just going to get more and more destructive. There's going to be lots of things, horrors and wars worse than you've ever seen before. He says, in summary, he says that the good news And many of us here probably heard that before, but when I think about the good news, I go back to Luke 4, where Jesus comes in, he says, I have come to set the captives free. And sin is the captive, and sin has got such a huge hold on all of our lives. So Jesus is coming in, he's saying, the good news that I have come to have relationship with you, and that sin no longer has its hold, is going to be preached to all nations, he said. And then he said, the end will come and it will happen suddenly and I will come back and I will gather all my people. And he says all this to them. Imagine like what that would feel like to see. He also says in there that you will know the signs and you will see that things are coming. But he says, there's two things I want you to do while you wait for my return. He says, one, be ready. And he says that in Matthew 24. He says, keep watch, verse 42, be ready. And then the other one, and then he fleshes that out in Matthew 25 of the parable of the 10 virgins. You guys heard a sermon on that recently? Maybe, right? The parable of the 10 virgins is fleshing that instruction out. While we wait for Jesus to return, we're to be ready. That means your relationship with God is ready, that your sin has been dealt with, that you are in conversation and you're good standing with Christ. This past week, my aunt called me and said that her son has decided he's not really sure if he believes anymore. And just that brokenness in my heart, and I've been praying for him this past week that, you know, I don't know if he's ready. You know, are you ready with your relationship with God? The next thing that he says is at the end there, as you wait, be a faithful servant of my household family. These are the two instructions that we're given while we wait. And that's fleshed out in the parable of the three servants that I'm going to preach about now as we go into. I asked my son this morning, I said, so what do you think the instructions were? And he said, make disciples, Dad. I said, yeah, that's a good one. We talk about it all the time. And make disciples is essentially be a faithful servant of my household. Let's go into that parable and see what Jesus is actually meaning by making disciples, being a faithful servant. So chapter 25, verse 14 in your Bibles, the parable of the three servants. Again. So it starts off with the word again. That reminds us that Jesus is fleshing out this instruction as when we wait. He has just given us an example of the 10 virgins, and now we're talking about another example of while we wait. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. The word entrusted here is to hand over into one's care. We understand that this master is actually a really generous master because he's going to give away his great wealth, his property. The word property here is translated wealth, possessions, the things that are good, right? So we've got a master that's going away and he calls his servants together and he gives, entrusts, he gives over to one care his wealth, his possessions. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, he gave 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. So, we look at this, and it's interesting here. We learn a little bit about the master. And the word talents is translated poorly, really, into our language, day and age, right? The word talents actually is a unit of weight. And in Jesus' day, a talent of gold would be 20 years of a laborer's work. So, this master is giving 100 years worth of a laborer's wage to one, 2 times 40 years, and then 20 years, right? So he's giving away great wealth, great possessions, and look how he does it. It's according to each servant's ability. This master is extremely generous, and he knows each of his servants really well, and he wants them to succeed. He wants them to have success. So he gives them each according to their abilities, and then he goes away on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. So we're just looking here now at the character of these servants. The servant number one jumped at the opportunity. He used his abilities, whether that's connections, resources. He took risks with the master's money. He went out there and he worked it. And he was obedient and he showed love for the master. Exact same response for servant number 2. But servant number 3, what's he going to do? Verse 18, the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So he does the exact kind of opposite. He's like, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm just going to take it here and bury it there. So let's see how it goes. After verse 19, a long time. If you look at the previous parable, it's always cool to see how everything's connected. That master is gone a long time as well. So you interpret for me what a long time is, right? The master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, I'm going to wait right there. The word see actually is translated behold in King James and different places. And it's not like a prideful, look at what I have done. I'm very impressed with myself. See, I have gained 5 more. It is more of a wow. I've gained 5 more. This past summer, when I moved back to Owen Sound, God just aligned this up that my dream property, the place where I'd love to live if I ever had the chance, up in Hepworth was my grandparents' hobby farm. The house was a lot more broken down as I had remembered when we got it, because it sat there for 2 years and it had mice and mold and black mold. And I was like living the dream, but my wife Julie was like, this is ridiculous. So there was even water. I remember we turned the water on, it was just dark brown, and then it only worked in the kitchen, but not in the bathroom. Anyway, so dream for me, but not for my wife. Anyways, this past summer, we put an addition on the one side of the house, and I'm not like skilled in that area at all, but you just kind of, we went through the process of what comes. We'd saved up some money from our sale of our last home, so we got a guy to like draw some designs and contact places, and then I called up people to do the foundation, and then my dad literally worked like 3 months solid, and he was out there with me, and I was there, you know, screwing down things and building stuff and putting on trusses and learning about I-beams and all this kind of stuff and making sure it's level. And you will find me often standing outside looking at this new front porch in this living space, and my wife will open the window and she'll say, and he saw what he did and he said it was good. And that's a mocking, joking tone, right? Because I like to just take a step back and look at this addition every once in a while, because it's like a wow moment, like this servant here. It's a see. I don't know how we got here, God. You are so good. Somehow we came to this place, and I look at my life often. I look at the kids, and I look at the youth that I had the privilege of investing in, and many of them are still following Jesus, and they're now multiplying, and there have been people that he's brought into my life that I've been able to pour into. And last week, a young man that I poured my life into for a few years called me and said, can you pray for me? This is going on in my marriage. He's preaching at Sunday morning, and I have the privilege, and I step back, and I say, wow, God, the fact that you would put these people in my life and you would put these privileges to be here this morning, you know, this is a wow moment. You know, they get to speak to you guys. And this is what I really see the heartbeat of this servant is here. He's saying, wow, here is 5 more. I don't know how we got here, God. Well, if it's God, master, we're going to go there in a second. But this is amazing. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. This master is extremely happy with the faithfulness, the love shown. And he's just saying, hey, oh, the things we will do together from this point forward, let's have some fun. Let's share in the joy. Next, we look at verse 22. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been put in charge, faithful of a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So I'm going to get you guys to look at verse 23 and look at verse 21 and tell me what the difference between the two responses are. 23 and 21, what are the differences that we see between the master's response to these 2 servants? Anybody spot? No, it's the same. You're right. It was a little trick. I love that Jesus put this in here, because here we understand that his master is not giving any different response based on the numbers. So because the one guy brought five back and the other guy brought two back, he doesn't respond any differently. It's the exact same response. Kind of interesting, right? What's this master looking for? Exact same response. Now, verse 24, the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man. You harvested where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So we understand that this third servant has a very different perspective on the master. Doesn't see him as generous at all. Actually, he sees that the master is such a hard man, he's put him in an impossible situation. It's a lose-lose situation. He loses if he takes that and he puts it in the ground and he invests it and it multiplies, because that hard master is just going to come and take all of the benefits for himself. And he loses if he invests it and it loses value, because that master is going to come back and be like, I'm really disappointed in you. So in a lot of ways, this servant is just in a lose-lose situation, but it's his perspective of the master that is giving him this understanding, and it affects his actions. So let's look at the response. Okay, you wicked, lazy servant, very opposite to faithful and good. Now he's wicked and lazy, servant number three. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown, and you got and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. And this is a verse I always wrestled a little bit with years ago when I read it, because it just never really made sense. It's like Jesus steps out of the parable here and makes this summary statement. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Think about what's going on here. What is Jesus saying? Well, I guess if we look at the parable, it helps to make sense of this. Everyone who has what the master is looking for, faithfulness, goodness, love of the master, will be given more opportunities, joy, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have faithfulness, love for the master, what the master is looking for, even what he has, the opportunity for relationship with the master, the opportunity for good things, for joy, it will be taken away from him. Okay, now that makes sense, right? And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this isn't a very pretty ending to this parable. Okay, so like any beautiful art piece, story, we have to pull it apart and figure out what's going on, right? It's not always the funnest part, right? People who, I bet you, you know, paint a beautiful picture, sometimes just want it to be that. But if you haven't already picked up on it, here's what's going on. So let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, so the master going on a trip is Jesus, right? He has gone to the Father. He's coming back. This is a time-limited opportunity. Right? Because it's going to run out. He said it's sudden, and he's coming back. And so the master, Jesus, is extremely generous. And he loves us. He's looking for faithfulness. And so that's Jesus. Multiplication is simply a byproduct. It's interesting that multiplication happens in the servant's lives. It's not like he gets to heaven and then the five there. It's during that servant's life, multiplication occurs. He has invited us to share in his joy. The servants are people Jesus has invited. So if you are here today, which you are, Jesus has invited you to relationship with him. And there's a cool song happening. Okay. So my brain's getting back to it. Okay. So you have the privilege to be one of his servants. And he is inviting you to know him. And he wants to share his kingdom with you. He wants to share his kingdom's work with you. And that is for us. Okay, next. The master's wealth, talents, entrusted to the servants are people who need care. Now, some of you might be like, I've heard a sermon on this, and Phil preached it last week. That means that the master's wealth was spiritual gifts or something along those lines. And I've heard that before, and I'm not trying to, you know, sometimes we don't interpret things right, because when I look at the scriptures and I wrestle with this, if we go back to 24, he's saying two things. And one is to be a faithful servant of our household. It's the people of the household that are the master's greatest wealth. Jesus cares most about people. And then if we go on a little bit further, on the other side of it, he's coming back to see how we cared for the sick and the imprisoned and the thirsty, right, and the weak. So it's people, that's Matthew 25, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. It's people that we are given to invest in. It's people that can multiply. And so that is what the master's greatest wealth is. It's vulnerable, teachable, hungry people. And they are the master's greatest wealth. Those of us who have ears to hear, eyes to see, those who are longing for freedom from sin's captivity, those who are broken in whatever process. You know, this past week I had someone say, hey, this marriage is broken up. They need care. Their kids need care. People who are in financial trouble, people whose marriages are broken, whose relationships with God are broken, people who are troubled and hungry. These are the people that God puts in our path that he wants us to invest in. And those are the people that we will be called out on and say, how did you invest in your kids? You know, your mission starts right here today as a church. When those kids walked out that door, I thought, man, those are the vulnerable, hungry, teachable people that God's placed right in your presence. And he's going to ask you, how did you invest in? How did you represent me? How did you love on them? How did you show them Christ? And that is the people. That's the master's wealth that we get entrusted with. And it's a privilege. The servant's abilities are the resources we have. So Jesus determines based on, so these are your homes. This is your car. This is your brain. These are your abilities with a guitar. These are spiritual gifts that when we ask for them, he pours out on us, administrative gifts. According to our abilities, God gives us people so that he knows we'll succeed in. And I watch this all the time. Someone who's been broken in this area and has experienced freedom, God brings someone into their life to show them the path. And it's that ability and resource that the master says, yes, this is an opportunity for someone to be set free. So, the future place of sharing the master's happiness, continued work, is the new kingdom. And sometimes people say, I'm so excited to go to heaven, and I keep thinking, me too. But that's not our final destination. It is the new heaven and new earth, a new kingdom, and that's where we get to do oh, wonderful new things. I don't know what they're going to look like yet. I hope I get to build some new additions or something. But I'm really excited about the new kingdom, right? It's going to be really cool. And then the future place of weeping and gnashing of teeth is a real place of suffering that is absent of the master in his kingdom. And so we don't want to go there or have anyone else go there. So next slide. So which servant do you most relate with? Do you really know the master? That's the big question. Because servant number three didn't really know the master. I don't know where he got his information from, that he was a hard man, he sowed somewhere and reaped other places and didn't really care about his servants, because that's servant number three. I don't know if you're here today and you know Jesus in that way, that there's been something happened in your life that hurt, and you've grown to a place where you're bitter at him and you think he's such a hard God and he just doesn't care about you at all. Maybe that's where you are today, and that's turned into bitterness. And you just are decided, instead of like figuring out answers and bringing that brokenness to him, you try and create your distance from him, and you just want to bury every opportunity. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're lazy. My greatest struggle is to try and help my kids not be lazy. And I would rather do things for them, but I realize that's not the best way, right? So maybe that's you. Negative, fearful. Or maybe you're servant one, and you're just in this place where you're starting to understand the kingdom's values are totally opposite to the worldly values, is that the things that matter most are people and not stuff, as Phil was praying into today. So where are you at? That's the question. And it really stems from that question of, who is Jesus to you? Is he this extremely generous, loving God who has come to know you and you have a relationship with him and you're excited about the future that you have with him and the present and you're seeing him do great things and you're joining him in it? Or are you like servant three? I can honestly tell you in my story that I was like servant three. I had grown up in a church. I even became a youth pastor, and I was about 2-3 years into being a youth pastor, and I wanted out so bad. I wanted to be back into the world, and so somehow I tricked myself that I was really interested in building my own kingdom, and I was so grumpy that God had brought me way back to Owen Sound, and I wanted to go back to the city where I felt that I had more influence in the Christian world, that people knew my name, and I could become a bigger, better thing, and I could be part of a church that really knew what they were doing, and these were where I was at, and so I started applying to different jobs, and I remember I got the opportunity to be the lead pastor of the Burlington Meeting House, and this was an up-and-coming church that I was all excited about, and right before I was to go and tell my senior pastor that I was leaving, they called and said, because they hadn't signed the paperwork yet, they called and said, the Holy Spirit has said that we're are not allowed to hire you, basically. And I was like, what? What do you mean the Holy Spirit? What does he have to do with this, you know? Like, I am, yeah. So that was a real, you know, tension point. And then God allowed me to grow more. I went to this kind of for sure place. It was a place that had offered me the role years ago, a big church in London, thousands of people. And I was competing with the apprentice of this young adult ministry, and they interviewed me, and they asked me this question. They said, so what are you most passionate about? I said, developing people. And they said, so tell us a few people that you've invested in, how you've done that. And I kind of like got hit heavy, because I realized I wasn't that good at that, even though I thought I was good. Everyone that was of any development that I had been investing in were this because their parents were really faithful people and they had been investing in them. And so I got to this breaking point in my life in ministry where I finally said, okay, I surrender. I'm going to try and figure out how you invest into people, Jesus, and not the way that I invested in people. So I spent a summer reading the Gospels, studying how Jesus made disciples, and found out he did things a lot differently than the way I was doing things. He invested in a few at a time, and only those that the Father had told him to invest in did he pour his life into. To change the world with 12 people and actually invest in those 12 and 3 and then even in just one in Peter. It really blew my mind. And that Jesus didn't care at all about the religious system of power of his day. He actually cared more about whatever. He said, nothing do I do except for that which the Father I see him doing. It blew my mind. And so within that season of my life, a man came and said, I will invest in you if you don't leave. And I had decided at that time too to pour my life into 2 young kids. And I started to invest in those 2 kids, one of which became a pastor and I'm working with still right now and investing in, the other of which is the wife of our worship pastor at the Alliance Church. And God, all these years later, has showed me what multiplication and investment looks at. But in that year, this man who invested in me got me to a point where I realized I was more interested in my own kingdom than the Father's kingdom. And I was in tears very often, and I was pushed. And I wrote down on a piece of paper, and it said, stop worrying about what you will do, but simply invest in those people right in front of you. And I took that piece of paper, and for the next 7 years, it was right in front of my office window, and I was continually trying to develop the heart of Jesus that was thankful for that little kid from Desboro or that kid from down the road as the greatest wealth of the masters and the greatest privilege ever. And what I noticed over those next 7 years and to where I'm at now is now the opportunity to invest in an influence is more than I can handle. You know, for a guy who wanted influence, I had to die to what I wanted. And now I'm saying, okay, God, it's way too much. I need more help. I need help desperately to the point where I'm here today saying, guys, God wants to do a great thing in our region in Owen Sound, and he's working and he's doing great things. But it starts with you investing in the 1 or 2 or 3 people faithfully that he's put right in front of you. And so that's the really cool thing. So let's look at the next question. So, I think we're getting there. I got a few more minutes. do you really know Jesus? That's a big question today that I want you to take from this message. Are you becoming like him? So do you know him? Do you know his kingdom? Do you really know what he values most? Ask yourself that question, because it needs to look a lot different than what we see out there, right? What abilities do you have, and how are you growing your abilities? That's a great question to think about, because according to your abilities, that is the people that he's going to put in our path. And then what wealth of the masters, hungry, captive, teachable people, the one, the two, or the five, if you have received one person, your neighbor, your coworker, who is somewhat teachable or vulnerable or hungry or open to God because God's already working in their life and they need to see Jesus, you have received an enormous portion of the master's wealth. So who are those people? Can you name names? So often we're very general as Christians. Oh, we want to just pray for that church over there. What is the name of the person that God's put in your life? Jesus had names. We all can still remember the 12 names. Well, not 12. I can remember the three. There's a Bartholomew and a Philip, and right? But we can remember Peter, James, and John, and some of you here who maybe remember the rest of the 12. But Jesus had names. He went back to the Father's side and said, in John 17, he said, Jesus, the Father, I have been faithful with those you gave me. I did the work you completed the work you gave me to do. Before he even went to the cross, he completed the Father's work. He invested in people. So who are the names that you are going to say when Jesus comes back and says, how did you invest in Mary or whatever, right? Who are the names? Write those down. If you don't have names, start asking the Father to give you names. How are you investing in them? So next, I'm just going to wrap up why the exchange is here to help you as a church be involved in doing that. Next slide, please. So the Exchange is a ministry center downtown of the Christian Missionary Alliance. The Christian Missionary Alliance, just for any of you who know, was never intended to be a denomination. Originally, the Pentecostal assemblies and were really, really tight, actually. And they were seeing the Holy Spirit do great things. And the Christian Missionary Alliance was bringing churches together to help people move into deeper life with Christ and on mission with him. And then out of that became all these different denominations. One of them was the Pentecostal assemblies. And then the Christian Missionary Alliance was finding that so many people were coming to Christ that they started forming churches. But we're going back a little bit to the roots of who we were as an alliance and helping the local church and those churches who don't even exist yet resource you to practically invest in those one or two or five people. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. So here's how I'm here to help you do that and the exchanges. We have services that are relationship-based, foundationally relationship-based. So Christians Against Poverty is a ministry we partner with. And this coming Thursday, there's a course. If you know someone or you're interested in getting control of your money, it's a service that we provide for you, the church, and is run by churches. Right now, this is run by Doug McDougall, who's part of Owen Sound Alliance Church. But he partners with CAP. And we just want to show people the good news of Jesus and how he cares about their finances. And he will walk with you guys. On a Wednesday, he does free coaching, and he takes you through this course. And we're building teams of people that will coach people with their finances. So how we invest in that one or two or five people, maybe this is an area that we could help you in. Other services that we often provide are like marriage courses, or Family Life Canada is this ministry that does marriage mentoring initiative or relationships. So we train coaches, couples, to invest in other couples. And we resource church across church across church. So as a couple comes and says, I need help, I will pair them with a coach from Trinity Church or from Owen Sound Alliance Church. Or if you guys ended up decided, hey, we want to run an alpha marriage at the Exchange Center, it's set up for you to be able to do that. And we just want to offer this investment resource of the practical love of Jesus into the community. So that's some of the services that we provide. And we're always just waiting on God to provide more like-minded services. So I was thinking about, divorce care, grief care, mental health care, things like that. If there's a ministry out there that we can partner with and offer these practical services that are relationship-based, that bring it into that relationship like Jesus did, that's what we're looking for. I know I'm getting long-winded. Probably you're starting to fall asleep. As a junior high pastor years ago, I've learned when the glaze comes. And it comes about 5 minutes in with them. And, okay, training. We offer training. So we have people who will equip you to run an alpha course. The space itself, we offer that space as a resource to you. So it's set up perfectly for smaller spaces. We have a coaching room, and we have a facility that holds about 50 people, and it's got a kitchen. So we set that up so that it acts as a bridge to our community. It's a space where our community hopefully will become more and more comfortable to connect with you, the church. But at the end of the day, we have nothing without you. So I'm just a building with some chairs. You are the resource, right, to our community. Next. If you want to join us, you can become coaches. You can host a course with us. You can use our facility, and that's a way you support us. We have something called a co-working space on Wednesdays from 9 to 3. If you're like a startup business or you just want an hour away from with high-speed internet, come in and connect with other people. It's been really neat because I'm now starting to meet different people from our community who are in there every Wednesday, and I'm just rubbing shoulders with them, building relationships, sharing with them the love of Christ, saying, hey, this is a space, we want to get to know you, and through that, we hope that they meet Jesus and trust that they will. If you're interested in renting a space for a family gathering, we rent the space for $50 for every six-hour space, so it's a way to just try and help families get together, businesses get going, and it's a resource to our community. You can pray with us every Wednesday. I have different people come from different churches, and we pray for you. We do. We pray for you every week, and for other churches in our community, and for other ministries that are going on, that Jesus would keep moving and unify us, that he would be made known in our community. And if you're interested in partnering with us financially, that's another way. Just so you know, the building itself is trying to be self-sustainable. So we have four units above, and those four units pay for the building and the cost of its mortgage and the lights. And then the money that I raise goes into the Alpha Books and other things that we buy all the time to try and support the ministry, the training of our coaches and people like me to try and keep investing in our churches. So last slide. Here's a picture of the inside. If you're interested, there's my cell phone and the website. If you want to go on and book the space for something, you can go on there. I think I went over my 30 minutes, but let me pray for you. And if you have any questions, I'll be outside. And just really glad that I could be with you this morning.